right back. Hour number three tonight. If you look at the top of the homepage on the left side, you'll see a picture of David Icke and his book, The Answer. You can click and order it right there. And under his picture are his latest two videos. Murder by Vaccine, The Evidence Mounts Daily, and Why the Cult Agenda is So Anti-Human. Why Indeed. David Icke has turned the world often on its ear in valiant efforts to make people start thinking for themselves again and stop staring and reacting. And this vaccine choice is one of the most appalling things. When I hear stories about people lining up by the dozens and the hundreds trying to get their vaccine, I call it a kill shot. It makes me feel that there really isn't a lot of hope for an awful lot of people on this planet. It's very sad. And I don't blame them, because they've been screened away from the truth, screened away from reality by the so-called mainstream media. It's not that they would choose to be ignorant, but my God, are they. And in this case, deadly so, tragically. Hello, friend. Welcome back. Thanks for getting up early, David. It's always very nice of you to do.
It's a pleasure, Jeff. I tell you what, someone was talking to me this morning, because I put the alarm clock on for 3:30 UK. I had a British Telecom phone call for 3:30 UK. The alarm clock didn't go off. The phone call didn't come. And I was lying in bed, and something just said, get up, get up, get up. And I did, and it was 10 to 4.
Oh,
so
how funny.
I have my own alarm clock this morning.
Yeah. And, no coincidences, David. I don't believe in them much anymore. I think you,
someone was talking to me.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of goes on from, you know, what you were saying about why is this agenda so anti-human. And, you know, as you know, a long, long time ago, we were talking about the fact that this global cult, as I call it, is not just human. It may have a human appearance, and it may have many humans involved in it, but at its core, it's not actually human. And when you start to add up all the things that are being enforced upon humanity, you see that they are literally anti-human, and literally in the sense of dismantling the very foundation of what, not just what it means to be human, though it's certainly that in the last year, but also what is necessary to be human in terms of atmosphere, in terms of oxygen, in terms of carbon dioxide, and in terms of this fake vaccine, which quite demonstrably is about changing the nature of the human body.
Well, you've just said it all, and it's true. The whole agenda being forced down our throats is utterly anti-human. And I concur with you 100% that some of those at the top of this mechanism, this matrix that is running this genocidal anti-human agenda, are not human. I don't believe it. I don't think they share what we call normal human values, morality, common sense, accountability, thought, consideration, kindness. I don't think they have it. I don't think they're from here, and I don't think they give a damn about human life. And that's my take.
Yeah, I completely agree. When I look at Bill Gates and I look in his eyes, you know, they say the eyes are the window on the soul. Well, they are. But if you don't have what we call a soul, they're a window to that as well. And when you look at in his eyes, there's no life. There's no vibrance. There's no humanity. It's like looking at a biological computer system, really. And, you know, when you type horrible things into a computer and press enter, the computer does not process that information morally and say, well, I'm not sure I'm going to send this. I mean, this is pretty horrible.
Right.
It just does it. It does it because it's programmed to do it. And when I look at Gateses and people of his kind in the different subject areas of this cult, I see programmed people who have no capacity to feel empathy, compassion, what we would call human emotion. And you've only got to really just play that by what Gates has done in the last year alone against what a compassionate, empathetic human would do. He has pushed for action among world governments, it's all centrally coordinated, of course, that have devastated human life. They've devastated human society. They've devastated human livelihoods. They've devastated human health and indeed ended human life on a massive scale. And he will have no emotional consequence for that. And this is one of the things about this, shall we say, mental state, species, whatever you like. It has no emotional consequence. You know, what I've just described, if an empathetic human even contemplated doing that, they would find it horrific. Oh, I'm no way. I can't do that. But to them, press enter. And so you have a completely different way of looking at everything. And I was saying for decades to people, don't judge what's happening. Don't judge what's being done by what you would do, because those who are doing it at the core are not like you. They don't think like you. They don't feel like you. In fact, they don't feel. So this is what we're dealing with. And, you know, it was a long way back when I started to realize in the early 1990s that this manipulation was going on, this network was going on. And I looked at it and I thought, well, how long has this been going on? So you start to go back and you get to Babylon, you get to Rome, you get to ancient Egypt, you get to Sumer, etc., and other parts of the world. And you say, well, hold on a minute. That means people have been born, played a part in pushing this agenda on, died. Other people have been born, done the same. And this has gone on through history. So there has to be a coordinating force, because what is the point, I mean, of coming in and playing a part in advancing an agenda that you would have no part in seeing the end of, at least in the human sense. And so there had to be a common force that was not only spanning this period, but was the overseer, coordinating force. And that's when I started coming across the immensely compelling common themes around the different cultures, ancient cultures of the world, whether it was in South Africa, Australia, in the Middle East. And I also looked at the religious concepts of demons and the Islamic concept of jinn. And suddenly you start to form a picture of descriptions of this force using different names, obviously, in different cultures and different symbolism. Well, not even always different symbolism. And they're describing it. They're describing this force in the hidden that is manipulating human society. And that's what this cult is serving. And, you know, we all know that if you go deep enough, into the, inner core members, and not always just the inner core either, and you go deep into their background, you will hit pedophilia, you'll hit Satanism. And, you know, these people may be sick. They are deeply sick. But they're not intellectually stupid, and they would not be doing satanic rituals to the gods or their masters if those masters did not exist. And I started to realize what these masters were. It was this non-human force, which the Gnostic believers of the era in around the time of the Great Library in Alexandria, around, you know, 400 AD, that came to an end. They described these this force is archons, which is Greek for rulers, which is very appropriate. So there is obviously, we've been talking about it over the years, mate, there's a massively greater picture than just Bill Gates wanting to put vaccines into people.
Well said, and interesting to hear the word archons again. It's a very viable word that ought to be used more often than it is these days, because it does describe accurately this non-human, it's non-human, force, this energy. They're beings, whatever you want to call them. They're in control. There is an agreement of some kind at the top level of humankind with off-planet beings. They're here. They walk around amongst us. I'm not speaking for David, I'm speaking for me. They walk among people. They look like us enough. They can pass, whatever. They do not have our best interests in mind. I won't say at heart, because I'm not sure they have a heart. Speaking of Gates, I had a very interesting little article up entitled, "At What Point Do We Realize Bill Gates is Dangerously Insane?" It's a good title. And there's one little graph in here. Bill Gates is crazy, and he's dangerous because he's willing to put untold sums of money toward making the insane things he believes a reality. And all of those insane things hurt people.
Yeah, well, he is absolutely insane. But this comes to what we've just been talking about. I've got on my shelf behind me some really, thick, detailed books that are telling the contents, describing the contents of the Nag Hammadi texts, which were found in 1945 in an earthen jar about 80 miles north of Luxor in Egypt. And inside was this treasure trove of documents, which were from the Gnostic people. It's estimated that they were put in that jar about 400 AD. And what's phenomenal about that is, of course, all the other religious and ancient texts that were actually written down and stayed in the open, they had all the potential to be changed and manipulated and to suit the authority of the day. These didn't, because they were in this jar. And when you read them, when I read them, I'd concluded by the time I read them that this force existed, because I'd seen it in other cultures and from other sources. But when I read this, it was like, whoa. And they were talking, A, about the fact that if you take what they say, how they describe this reality, and you play it into the technological world knowledge of today, they were describing a virtual reality. They were saying this reality is fake and real reality is beyond it. But they were describing these archons. And what was interesting is they described them in their foundation form. They are consciousness. And they take form, and interestingly, they talk about a serpentine form, and they talk about another form that sounds remarkably like what we would call the greys. But in its core state, it's a consciousness. And this archontic consciousness is inverted. It's inverted. It's anti-life. And because it's anti-life and inverted, this is why this cult, everything it does is an inversion. It's an inversion of life. It's an inversion of what needs to be done. It does the opposite. This is why it uses inverted symbols in its rituals, the inverted pentagram, the inverted cross. It's actually nothing to do with Christianity, the inverted cross. It's about the inverted nature of everything. It turns literally, I think you've used the phrase already, Jeff, it turns everything on its head. And so what we're looking at with this cult and your Bill Gateses and your George Soroses and all the others is you're looking at vehicles, bodily vehicles, if you like, for this consciousness. And so they express that in their actions and in the way that they do things and in 15, we talked about Bill Gates and his lack of life in the way that they what they even look and the whole atmosphere around them. And so Gates is a in this world expression of this highly distorted, highly inverted consciousness. And if you take and this is why, you know, we talk about them being evil. My definition of evil is absence of love. You can't see any love in Bill Gates and the rest of these characters. And so what
that's a very good definition, David. It really sums it up perfectly. Yeah. And looking at Gates and his smirky little vapid face and his empty eyes, you see it. Yeah. Absence.
That's a very good phrase too. Empty eyes, because that's what they are. And so you've got these people as expressions of this archontic consciousness, because that's why they're here. That's what this cult is. It's a network within the frequency band that we interact with. We call the world, representing this force that operates outside of human sight. So they will express it. Now, if you take this level of distortion and inversion and you compare it with balance, love, harmony, then this archontic consciousness in its totality is what we would call insane. It's completely mad. And that's why these people that represent it in our reality are completely mad.
Oh, they are. I walk around and I see people, and it's very sad. They do look as if they're engaged at all anymore, and most people really aren't. They're just sleepwalking. They're waiting for things to somehow return to normal, what their normal used to be. And they're waiting on something that's just never going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're not going back. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, exactly that. And they keep feeding you little crumbs to say, oh, if you want to go back to normal, then we have to do this. And then when people do that, then, oh, no, you know, it's like the fake vaccine. Oh, fake vaccine, they said in the in the summer. Okay, yeah, and everything will go back to normal when you have that. And now, of course, the people are having it, and it's still all the other stuff has to continue.
Oh, now we're supposed to wear two masks, David. Two masks.
Oh, yeah,
masks.
I know.
Yeah.
There's one doctor is saying four. Now, that is not only insane. It's not only a death sentence. It should remove him from treating any other people in the rest of his life, because it's utter.
Absolutely.
We're coming back to the same word, insanity. But I tell you what I think's going on, and I've written this in books way back. I think there's an attempted assimilation going on of human consciousness. This archontic force in its distortion is seeking to assimilate human consciousness into its distortion, so humanity reflects it. And I think that's happening in two ways. It's happening in terms of manipulation of psychology, because obviously there's a total full-out, full-blown war on the human psyche and human perception. But if we then connect this into this fake vaccine, again, my feeling over a long time now is that the inner core of this cult, and I would include Gates in that for sure. I'm not saying he's inner core; he's still a gopher, but he's near enough to the core to be part of what I'm talking about. I think they are a form of AI now, and they are seeking to push humanity to a situation where we connect to AI. They're openly talking about it. So AI becomes the human mind, and to change the body from a biological state to a synthetic biological state. And I think this is all part of this assimilation. So is the smart grid, which all this is connected to. And they're trying to change human consciousness to the point where it becomes them, and to change the human body so we become them. And by them, I mean that which operates as a representative of this archontic force within our reality. So I'll say to people, when I say I think these people are AI, I'm not saying AI as we perceive AI today. I'm not, no, way, way beyond that. And when I, you know, I say that they are not like us from a bodily point of view, I'm not, you know, talking about, you know, robots as we know them now, but way, way beyond that, where they want eventually the human body to go, and where they are in terms of their consciousness, that's where they're taking humans, to massively and totally assimilate us into their consciousness. And so when people like Kurzweil at Google, Ray Kurzweil, this completely insane so-called futurist, talks about connecting AI to the human brain by the 2030s, is a year he's given. And you've got this other guy, complete and utter total fraud, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk and his Neuralink, sure.
His Neuralink, yeah. And also Musk is playing his part massively by putting these lower orbit satellites up to change the nature of our atmosphere.
5,000 of them, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable.
I tell you, he's playing good cop to their bad cop. But he's absolutely involved in this. Oh, it's Elon Musk. Look, he's nice. And he'll criticize them here. Oh, he'll criticize Gates and he'll criticize this. Yeah, he's all right. Musk is. No. Don't listen to what people say. Look at what they do. So this assimilation, I mean, what is Kurzweil talking about when he openly says that after the connection to AI, that AI will do more and more of human thinking until human thinking as we know it now is negligible and basically gone? He's openly said that. So then the question comes, what is AI? Yes, it's algorithms on one level, and it's this and it's that, and it's learning AI and all these different things. But what is ultimately this AI meant to be? I think it's meant to be this archontic consciousness. I think this AI connection is planned to be an access point to the human mind of this archontic consciousness, ultimately. Humans become a hive mind of this consciousness, because when people are connected to AI all across the world, exactly what they want, then by that definition alone, you become a hive mind of AI.
Correct.
But then the question is, okay, but what is this AI? And I say it's this archontic consciousness, ultimately, not the AI we see today. Again, I keep emphasizing that, but AI as it's ultimately planned to come in.
Look at what David is saying, everyone. This is really important. This so-called vaccine is admittedly a genetic changing device. All right, it's nanotech, it's mRNA, and it's going to go in, it's going to change your DNA to start manufacturing this protein so your immune system can allegedly learn to recognize the protein from the coronavirus and be prepared to attack if you are infected. All lies. There is so much in this alleged vaccine. It's just a carrier for other things. Now we know, thanks to that video that registered nurse made, that the swabs they're putting up people's noses, either the long or the short version, have nanofibers in them, moving nanotech in the swab formulation. Looks like cotton. Guess again, it's full of a lot of other things. Now Biden is talking about millions upon millions of masks being given to Americans. And I suggest If there are things on the swabs that they're inoculating people with, unbeknownst to them, and things in the vax that are being given to people that inoculate them, nanotech, why not things in the mask that you breathe? It's all possible. I wouldn't put anything past these people. So we're being changed genetically. We're being changed now, as David pointed out perfectly, to being AI-oriented with Neuralink. But what's the intermediate step there? Your smartphone. Your smartphone is a baby step toward you being fused with AI. They're talking about 6G now. Okay, you think 5G is bad. Wait till 6G gets here. That'll be another major step that will give Kurzweil wet dreams. Guaranteed.
Yeah, and this targeting of the young is all involved in this. The targeting of the young for total perceptual control and the targeting of the old to cull them is all part of this. For instance, I'm coming up now in April to 69. I was born in, I may look 24, but I'm 69 coming up. And so
16,
I
David, 16. Sorry.
Oh, I'm not going yet, mate. Not for a long time. I was born in 1952. So I have a radar as a person of advancing age. That I could see what the world was like before. And because of that radar, I can see very clearly the extreme nature of what is happening. But young people who've been born into, even people in their teens were born into a very different world to the one that I was. And kids being born now are being born into this. This is their normal.
Right.
You mentioned the smartphone. The smartphone was a stepping stone to what we're talking about, the connection to the human brain of AI, because it's been done through what I call the totalitarian tiptoe, step by step by step, and each step is presented as unconnected to the other one. So you get them addicted to holding technology. Then you start to get the technology on their bodies, and the wearables, and then you move inside the body step by step by step. Now, they obviously have a problem, like I say, with many old people, not all of them. I mean, there's nothing more true than there's no fool like an old fool. I mean, if you can get to 70, 80 years of age and learn nothing, then that's pretty foolish. But there are a very large number of people in my generations and older that have sussed it up to a point. And so you want rid of them. You want rid of them because you want to clear the slate as you go to year zero. You want to clear the slate of memory of how things were. So there is no memory of how things were. And so this is why they're targeting history. And in the schools, history's basically been, right, if not rewritten, it's been deleted. And certainly massively changed.
How things were never happened.
Yeah, exactly that. And so they have this opportunity now with the COVID nonsense and the vaccine to clear out a vast number of the older generations. And what you're going to see, I said this in books a while ago, you're going to see, we're already seeing it, the demonization of old people in the eyes of the young, because what they're going to do at some point is encourage the blaming for all that's happened in the last year and beyond on old people. So it's the old people, you know, we had to protect the vulnerable. You've destroyed our lives. You saw it with Brexit. You've seen it with human-caused global warming, that hoax. It's the old people. You've done this to the planet. This is all going to be brought to a head because they want rid of old people so they can isolate the young, those that have no perceptual radar, and make them lambs to the slaughter with this this connection to their minds of AI.
They don't want anything to do with proactive thinking. They want reactive thinking like our young people have been brought up on. That's all they do is react to stimuli for the most part. There are exceptions. Some are listening to this program right now. You're brilliant, you younger people who care, who get it. But most of your, and I've had them tell me, David, they've said, look, my friends are gone. There's nobody home. I don't have anyone to talk to. These are the occasional bright lights that are still there among the young. But generally speaking, let's just go back to some of the old tags. Communism. What does communism want? It wants the younger generation. They want rid of the older ones, as you've said. They want to mind mold the young. And they've already done that here. And they're doing it with more endeavor all the time. They're pushing harder and harder. You got it.
Well, you know, this cult goes back a very long way, and it plays the long game, and it is very ill at ease with anything it can't control. It's part of its distortion. And so if you take the analogy of a football match, it's not interested in controlling one side, because it would influence the result, but it can't call it before the game starts. So it wants to control both sides, and it wants to control the referee. This is why we have this illusion of multi-party states when they're actually one-party states. And so this play that's happened since the start of 2020 with this whole fake pandemic has been prepared for such a long time. They and crucial was preparing the human psyche, preparing human perception, and not just the public, but also those in authority. One of the things I've been writing in the books over the years about is an organization in Britain, and that they happen in every country. In fact, this one operates outside of Britain. It's called Common Purpose. And Common Purpose has been running training courses for government administrators, the police, even fire officers, government officials, council officials, all these different elements of the system. And when members of their family have talked about this, they've said, my loved one, whoever it was, completely changed as a person after these training courses. And they were having their minds reframed. And so the dynamic, and this has been done by recruitment as well, you know, if you want psychopathy, recruit psychopaths, has transformed the attitude or the dynamic of so many people in officialdom in all its forms, and the public. So the public becomes the enemy. This has been systematically done. And at the same time that that's been done by reframing their perception, so again they've thought, okay, now we're going to get the people, the young, completely in our perceptual power by infiltrating completely. And I say infiltrating, I mean, in America it was the Rockefellers, J.D. Rockefeller, etc., that was behind the so-called education system, and one of the biggest funders, if not the absolutely the biggest private funder of U.S. education is Bill Gates, through this Common Core, etc. And so what they've been doing, and this has happened in Britain, this has happened everywhere, they've taken young minds and they've molded them before, again, they become experienced and have memories and see how things really are. They've molded them from the earliest age to become this perceptual state that we see among so many young people. And I absolutely agree with you. I've said many times, if you look at an awake young person today, they are incredible people, because this is the most perceptually targeted generation in human history because of all the technology. So this has been prepared for a very long time, and the psyche of the people has been prepared for so that it would be able to accept what's going on and be sucked into what's going on. And you're absolutely right. The mask thing, of course, is all about dehumanization, among many other things, including health. And I absolutely agree with you about breathing in fibers. I mean, there have been studies that have said, look, you're breathing in fibers, and you're breathing in them more because you're not getting enough oxygen in. So you're sucking in or breathing in more heavily. So you're drawing in more of these fibers. So the fact that we're taking in, oh, not we are because we're a bloody mask, but the fact that people are breathing in fibers from these masks, that's a gimme. The only question is, what's the nature of these fibers? And I absolutely agree with you with what they are. They're desperate and from every angle to get this nanotechnology into the body, self-replicating, that will work to transform the human form into something very different. And this is why they, you know, I said back in the summer, you know, it's not going to be one vaccine, you know. It's going to be ongoing vaccines. And what they're going to do now, of course, is to move all these other vaccines that people have been getting and children have been getting. Look at the vast number of vaccines that kids get. It's all part of the same thing. They're going to transform them into mRNA and other forms of manipulation of genetics. We've already got a flu vaccine that is an mRNA. So you can see where the cumulative transformation of the human form is going to come from.
We're right on the doorstep. There are so many different endless varieties of mRNA that they can put in the human body, and probably are with this phony vaccine. There's not just one. Don't buy that for a second. And I know most all of you don't. But this is clearly moving toward a communitarian kind of a hive molded mind consciousness. That's what they want. And that's where they're going. And I don't know how to defeat it. I know that all the people listening to this program and all of the people around the world who have followed your brilliant work, David, I know they're not going to give up and quit. That's not going to happen. Unfortunately, this is a monumentally evil matrix of archonic intelligence, if you will, that has been arrayed against us. And I mean all of us, the good us on the planet, not those who are walking around aimlessly. Bless them all, but they're out of the game. I don't know what this is going to be like in terms of a showdown, but something is going to happen at some point where we who remember and who know, and our young people who know, are going to resist this, and there's going to be some real ugliness. I don't know when, I don't know how, but yes, the doorway is open. The vaccine, the nasal swabs, the masks, the chemtrails, the GMO foods, all of it, an assault on the human body. No question, terraformed as a species.
Yeah, you've just described a series of things all funded by Bill Gates, of course.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But, you know, this consciousness, this archontic consciousness, is in a distorted form. And that distortion, means it's not in even beginning to enter the realm of the power of consciousness in its, balanced, all-powerful state. It's not. And so, it has to distort our consciousness so that we go to a level of power that it's at or less. I look at this archontic consciousness, and what comes to me is the phrase, in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. This consciousness is the one-eyed man. It's not a two-eyed, third-eyed man. It is a one-eyed man. And the way that it controls humanity en masse is to make humanity the no-eyed man and woman. And so if you look at the structure of society, it is all there to put human perception into a overwhelmingly, almost in totality, five-sense level of perception. So it's in a lower level of perception than this archontic consciousness, gotcha. But those that are in a more expanded state, who are not just completely consumed and mesmerized by the five senses, they are in a different state of consciousness. And that consciousness is far more powerful than this archontic consciousness in its distorted state. So this is why there are, and I think increased, but certainly vastly increasing numbers of people compared with what I remember before, that have looked at the world as it's unfolded in 2020 onwards, and that has been the trigger that has said, hold on a minute, what is going on? And there is among great numbers of people a massive reassessment of their sense of reality, and they're open to things now that they weren't before. So we're seeing this parting of the ways between those that have completely conceded their perceptions to this archontic force and those who are seeing beyond it. And it's those that, I mean, not necessarily seeing the whole thing, no, but they're seeing that this is not good, what's happening and where it's going and what's behind it. And so that's why you're seeing the targeting of these people. I mean, the riot at the Capitol building was a setup to target and demonize. They call them Trump supporters, but what they're really targeting is not Trump supporters because they're Trump supporters, but Trump supporters are overwhelmingly what I call pushbackers. They don't want what this cult wants. They don't want what the woke mentality controlled by the cult wants. They're pushbackers, and that's why they're being fiercely targeted for censorship and all these things. And these pushbackers, in all their various forms, are an expression of a vast spectrum of awareness. But from there's something going on here, and it's not right, to, oh, I can see what's going on here. That whole spectrum, the whole spectrum is about pushbacking, don't want where it's going. And that's why it's being targeted. But that consciousness has a tremendous collective power if it will only grasp it. I'll give you an example. It's okay having protests in Washington. I mean, protests are good in one sense. They are a visual symbol of public feeling. But apparently 74 million people voted for Trump. Okay. So what if 74 million in America today started refusing to cooperate? They didn't wear masks. They opened their businesses. They will not do the social distancing. They won't buy it. How do you enforce upon 74 million people with a law enforcement level of this cult? And they're recruited from the target population, of course. How do you do that with 74 million people? You know, how do you do it if 30 million people did it in Britain? It will be unenforceable, because what they've set up, and this for me is looking at the answer. They've set up a structure whereby there's a hierarchy, a human hierarchy, and this happens globally and nationally. At the top of the pyramid, you've got the inner core of this cult. And it imposes its will on the entirety of the human population virtually through a very simple process of imposition and acquiescence all the way down the pyramid. So the inner core of the cult will impose its will, its agenda, on the level below it, which will then acquiesce to that and impose it on the level below it, which acquiesces to them, and so on. And this is the satanic hierarchy, if you like, at the top of the pyramid, operating in the hidden. Now, very soon after you come down from this pyramid peak, you start to meet levels of this hierarchy. You have no idea there even is a cult or even is an agenda. But what they do, and you see it all the time, that level, which is considered superior, my superiors, impose the agenda of the level above it on the level below it. And so you come all the way down the pyramid with imposition, acquiescence, imposition, acquiescence, imposition, acquiescence. And then you meet the mass of the human population at the bottom of the pyramid. And if we acquiesce to that level which is imposing upon us, which is governments, government agencies, law enforcement, and we acquiesce to our own enslavement at that point, we complete a circuit of imposition and acquiescence that has allowed that tiny core at the top of the pyramid to impose its will on the entirety of the human population. And that's exactly what's happened in plain sight since the turn of 2020. Now, if we're going to break that circuit, and if we don't, well, this is over. But if we're going to break that circuit, and it doesn't take the majority, thank God for that. but it takes a lot of determined, courageous people with spine. But if through non-cooperation with our own enslavement, if we break that circuit so that vast numbers of people do not acquiesce, then it's unenforceable. It's unenforceable. If enough do it, it's unenforceable. Without this imposition acquiescence sequence, a tiny few people at the top of the pyramid cannot impose their will upon the entirety of the human population. It's not possible. So it's in terms of numbers, the answer is staring us in the face. The question is, are people going to get control of their perception on a level that is going to act upon those numbers? And that's what we're going to see, because in 2021, because I think this, Jell, I think this is absolutely the pivotal year, 2021. Where we are at the end of the year will decide everything, really, in so many ways.
I concur. This is the pivotal year. This is it. Right now, it does appear that the archons are seeing little effective, if any effective, real pushback. And that's their goal. If they can continue to keep the things in a status quo situation, as they have been, where there's no pushback, no reward for pushback, only punishment for occasional pushback, like the Capitol riot, that orchestrated obvious riot, they're going to be very happy with their progress by the end of the year. This bothers me greatly. Now, I see 6G coming already. They're talking about that. It's a very simple but daunting challenge we as normal humanity face. If we don't stand up and confront this, we're not going to be normal humanity anymore.
Yeah, I think where we are, Jeff, is we are at a point where we have perceptual pushback. We have compared with when we started out, a massive number of people who have perceptually seen it at some level that this is really bad where we are, and where we're going is even worse. So perceptual pushback is there, which is not really, of course, pushback, but it is the perception that we have a problem, Houston. The next stage, and this is the most important one, is turning perceptual pushback into physical non-cooperation. Oh, we don't need to fight these people. We don't need to fight these people. We need to stop cooperating with them, because without our cooperation, they can't do what they want. And that's the thing. And that's where the courage comes in. And, you know, when you go into a more expanded state of awareness beyond the five senses, the world looks very different. And you reach a point where you don't think about consequences when you are thinking, I know I need to do this, but what are the consequences for me? I'll tell you what the consequences for you are. They are an increasingly extreme nightmare, increasing by the week. That's what the consequences are of doing nothing. So we need to look at this and say, well, where is this going if we don't do anything? Well, you know, beyond anything that most people could imagine. So let's stiffen the backbone and let's go with it now, because, you know, once you reach a certain level of consciousness, you too start playing the long game, because, you know, we are all an expression of an infinite state of consciousness, an eternal state of consciousness. And what we're experiencing here is a brief experience called human. And if you play the long game, then you do what you know to be right, and you don't just keep it within the 70 years and 10. That's just an experience.
Well said. Perfectly said. I do think you're 100% on with this. 2021 this is the make or break year. This is it. I think we are really facing our end unless we stand up. All we have to do is stand up and not cooperate. It's not that hard. It's a psychological barrier, though, that many people are just, this whole fear porn thing. They're feeding this fake pandemic, fear porn, constant fear, fear. Oh my God, what if they're going to take it all, lose it, I won't have any outlet. The fear has got to be addressed somehow, effectively, by a lot of people.
That's the key point, Jeff. I've said this over the last few months. The key point comes when people have nothing left to lose. That's what's going to decide where we go. Because while people think they have something to lose, they will acquiesce in the hope of not losing it. But where this is going economically, of course, and it's already gone there for so many people,
there's
a point where you've got nothing left to lose. And when that point comes, you see the world differently. You do this and we'll do this to you. Well, how can that be worse than what I have? Right? So when that point comes with the mass of people, then we're going to see where this goes. And if it goes on acquiescing, then, it's over. But you remain hopeful that at that point, the waters will break.
Very good. Superb. Thank you, my friend. And we'll keep doing our best. And I look forward to a better day.
Yeah, well, that's what we're working towards, isn't it? And whatever happens, we're always all that is, has been, and ever can be on an eternal journey of exploring forever.
Indeed. You did say we've been at this a long time, and I just thought back about all those years ago. You were right. It has been quite a journey. Thank you, David. You be well.
Cheers, Jeff. Always a pleasure, mate.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
David Icke, the one and only. We'll be back tomorrow night.